I've got with me now at Hard Rock Hell Day 3, Saturday, last day, whatever, Gone Savage.
Yep.
And Ian, Jim. Jim!
Mm-hmm.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
Close enough.
Is that how the advert went? We're putting a band together, but we need everybody to have the same name.
It's just easier.
It's easier.
It's easier for me.
It's hard to get through the audition.
Yeah.
Official titles are James and James, but
James and James,
you know.
Yeah, well, it's rock and roll.
It's dude, it's.
We're both Irish and we're both short arses. You know, it.
Well, yeah.
Difficult to distinguish, and we both have beards. It's difficult to distinguish between the two, you know.
Yeah.
So your set was last night.
Stage 2. We went on at 8 p.m.
I think you found the official title, Stage 1.
Is it?
It's called Stage 1.
Main stage is Stage 1.
Main stage and Stage 1. Main stage and Stage 1.
Ah.
Yeah, it's like Premiership, Championship.
Ah, yes.
I'm old enough to remember Division 3 wasn't called Division 1.
That's right, it's First Division.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Liverpool ruled the world.
Yeah, did they?
Yeah, they did.
Didn't they? And did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Super.
Excellent. Is it your first go as a... Hard Rock Hell.
It is, yeah. It's the first one. It's been a long time coming, this, David. We've spent a lot of time working on getting that exposure, and it was well worth it. You know, we thoroughly enjoyed it, and dare we say, this is the kind of level that we pitch at, you know, and it was superb. Great, superb. Crowd were good.
Yep.
Very good crowd.
Great crowd. They seemed to enjoy what we were doing, so.
Great feedback. And, you know, because we don't gig all over the place. We're not a prolific touring band, but we have got good pedigree and we put out a good product. And we the people that were there, fantastic, you know. So a lot of people first time.
Yeah.
And that was good reception. I mean, what was interesting as well, as we do promote ourselves, is that people, you can see people mouthing the words, which is really bizarre because it's like, they must have picked up from somewhere.
Yes.
You know, and it's not because we're in people's faces every single week. So it's good.
There's something about the Hard Rock Hell events where the crowd are very, very, very receptive to everything, because they know that she's going to put on good bands.
Yeah.
They are going to be good. But the clash that everybody worries about doesn't seem to, certainly from a band's point of view, doesn't seem to happen, because people go, well, they're not for me, I'll go and watch the band over there.
Yeah.
They're very. It's not like a download where you've got a 6 mile yomp between stages. Yeah. And it is just sort of, oh, just go have a wander over, check that out. And I think every year that I've done this, I've come away with two or three new bands that I've never come across before. And just go, yeah, I like them, I like that, I like that. It cost me a fortune, but it's...
Yeah.
It's great as musicians too, if you get to... Because this, the atmosphere here... Because it's not like your typical festival, because obviously everybody's hanging out in the same areas with the stages being what they are, and everybody gets to kind of see each other play, which is great, because I look for a bit of inspiration. But as a guitar player, I'm looking at some of the other players, even thinking, Jesus Christ, I hope to God my solos are as good as their solos. I hope they're good, you know what I mean? You try and up it, like each band tries to up the level just a little bit more, but it's great to kind of see a bit of inspiration there and see more talent. It's really cool. It's really good.
I saw Decreed last night.
Yeah.
Never seen them. And I thought they were superb. And it's like, you stop, when you see a band, you don't have to like analyse it. You stop and go, that's good. And it's good that, you know, this place can expose, give that exposure to bands. And you'd know instantly good bands. Or a band that you may not want to see, but great, fantastic. So it's that live experience is superb. So I know this new band now, Decreed.
I'll
check out.
Well, I
like the way they put the show across as well. Yeah. So it's stuff that you can then learn and develop. You know, everybody's learning.
Yeah, and in terms of influences, I don't mean before anybody shits themselves and goes, it's the question of who do I sound like? That's not what I mean. In terms of when you guys sort of said, I want to play guitar, or I want to be a bassist, or I want to be a drummer, I want to sing, or whatever. Can you remember the first time something went, that penny just dropped and played? So for me, I was 3 or 4 years old and watching Sweet on Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
And I just went, I didn't really know what it was. I just said, I want to do that. and my mate's now got cross-dress. I went, well, yeah, on Fridays, but it was actually got me being in a band.
One of my mates showed me, I think it was a 1996 video of Steve Vai performing on the Fire Garden tour.
Yeah.
And Steve's doing all this crazy stuff with his guitar and throwing it all over the place and playing it with the whammy bar and putting his hand on the fretboard and going all like that. And it literally just abusing the guitar and the sounds coming out of it and the sonic thing that's coming out of it is something that I'd never ever heard before in my life. Just it was almost like the instrument was an extension of him. And I saw him playing it and saw the emotive, like it. Things like that. Listen to all the music, listen to his albums, saw all the performances of him and went, Jesus, I really want to do that. Mm. That's the kind of thing I want to do.
He's showing a video of 1996. I'm thinking I'm going back to 1973.
That's the thing.
Brothers LP sneaking into his bedroom.
One. Yeah. No, I mean, I only started playing guitar when I was 17.
I remember when he played for David Lee Roth and Whitesnake. Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of... Yeah.
No, I only picked up the guitar for the first time when I was 17. So that was, 2000, 2001?
Yeah.
It was the first time I picked up a guitar. And... This is the thing that makes it laugh because Gone Savage is a band were around in the 90s.
Yeah,
the 90s. I was 6 years old before it started.
It's a band.
Wasn't a bloody guitarist. Didn't know I wanted to be a guitarist. But so then, obviously, for years, I tried to copy every Steve Vai lick. I tried to saw people like Eddie Van Halen. When you're young and you're starting out as a guitar player, you want to try and emulate your idols because that's what you want to be. And then as the years went on, I got influenced by a lot of other different guitar players and thought, well, you got to develop your own voice and your own sound and not just try and copy what somebody else is doing. But it did take me a few years to kind of learn that. Yeah.
What are you? First major influence wasn't probably rock music, if I'm honest, but kind of prog, Supertramp.
Really?
Yeah. That led me then into stuff. And then the first real thing for me was actually Motorhead. And that's a bit cliche, but... I saw Motorhead.
Bit of a jump from Supertramp.
Yeah. But the first record would have been, believe it or not, I'll say this, Village People, to Supertramp, to Motorhead, and that was in about a year.
I would admit that.
So take that from the tape.
I might edit it out.
You might.
Well, I might edit. So Motorhead and Supertramp.
So we get to Motorhead, and I went to a gig when I was about 11, and that was like big influence. And then from that, Three Piece Bands were my influence, and Rush was my other one.
Right.
So Rush and Motorhead, and Geddy Lee, and then Lemmy, and that's where it all stemmed. So that's why I created. That's
quite a mix.
So from the bass point of view, so that's where it pushed me on. Always play with my fingers because that's my influence.
I bass player the part of an album. I'm classified as sacrilege when I pick a bass up, so I can only play with a pick.
No,
nothing wrong with that.
I'm going to say Phil Lynott. If I'd gone the other way, like Jim's a big Lizzie fan, I'd have gone Phil Lynott, I'd have gone Plectrum. So you would have been
influenced.
Thing is,
I play it like Rudy Vitale.
Again, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it. You can. With any instrument, you can play it however you want to play it. You don't have to play it the way people tell you to.
Where are you guys?
Mine goes back early. So I used to sneak into my brother's bedroom. He was the one that was into rock and got me into it. But he used to have a right mix of stuff. He used to be like Steely Dan, Joe Walsh. I think he was in the James Gang and all that years ago. A lot of ELP. The first kind of band I got into on my own was like Thin Lizzy.
Right.
I found an article in the music paper one day and looked at it and just, it was just the image of it. It's the iconic one of him where the bass is coming across his eyes. I just saw this image of this dude. I thought, oh, he's cool. And I just got into Lizzie from there. My main thing.
And you?
Keyboard wise, again, it's same kind of era as James. ELP was one of my big influences, and I'm on from it. I love the Hammond, the Mini Moog. So ELP onto UK, Rush, same as Ian. Mid-80s Rush for me was when they totally changed the sound. You use a lot more keyboards, really enhanced the sound.
Poppy Rush.
Yeah, they're the ones that stick out.
Power Windows.
Power Windows is a good band. I like Power Windows. Yeah.
Hold your fire. Yeah. Grace Under Pressure. Oh yeah.
It's like what people said when I started freely admitting that I had apparently turned into a prog fan after 30 years of saying, I can't stand prog. And they went, do you like such and such? And they went, well, this is a prog band. And I went, yeah, you're a prog fan. Anyway. Yeah, so you like Yes? No, I hate Yes. Apart from...
Well, they were heavily influenced by English music, weren't they? Rush in them days. Yeah, they were. Depeche Mode and all them kind of bands over there. Especially Neil Peart. Yeah. That's where all that came from.
What, Neil Peart?
Yeah.
Didn't know that. Depeche Mode.
Yeah. Geddy Lee just went, I'm going to play all the instruments.
At once.
Yeah, I'm going to play all the instruments at once. Then Neil Peart goes, well, in that case, I'm going to have every drum that you can possibly buy, and I'm going to make this drum kit. And Alex Lifeson goes, I just want to play guitar.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
fine.
He
it's
plays
all good.
A different guitar for every track. I've seen it about 8 or 9 times. And I went to one concert in, I think, Manchester, MEN, and he did a different guitar for every track. Seriously, every track. So he must have
and what's next for Gonsalves?
Well, at the moment, we're doing writing quite a bit of new material. So this really is a break in that writing process of doing the gig. So that we are scheduling work or live work for probably summertime, if I'm honest.
Right.
But at the moment, I'm trying to hook into festivals as such. Yeah. Most of this year's festivals are going to obviously be booked up and gone.
Yeah.
But potentially I'm working on stuff for the new year, so this most of this year we'll be writing new material, going in the studio. Possibly we had an EP out last year, so we may do look towards an album potentially. Right. It'll be self-funded, as most things are these days. So that'll be quite a long process, David. And we're not a band that'll go hawking our wares up and down the street every single week or month, because we need to. We don't need to. So we tend to pick our venue, and it's not being snobbery or anything like that, or up our own. It's just a case of, you know, we want to put the show on to the best we can.
Yeah.
And like last night, we could. Yeah. So Ian's got equipment that we use. You know, it's technology. It's a big rig. It's not practical in small venues.
No.
We've got, we all sing, there's 5 vocalists going off, we need a really nice sound PA, So, to do it justice, we have to find places.
Right.
And that cuts us out a lot of work. Of course it does. Because, you know, we can't just go to places and say, we are going to come play at your venue or your festival. But we know that. So, the band isn't about quantity, it's about quality.
Yeah.
And it always has been. So, yes, this year, mainly write, record, a few shows, next year, launch. That's the way I envisage it.
And do you think, do you find that that's just better? Because of your own
more
quality control?
Yeah, basically. There's no agenda as such. We can create our own timeline. You know, we're not saying like by next Tuesday we're going to have this done. We can be selective about our work. You know, we're all our own best critique. So if we say create 20, 30 tracks, we know that 10 are going to be thrown away, and we know that 5 will get worked out. We know.
What's the idea of Resurrection? The EP that we released last year, that was songs that we'd written. We formed in the 90s.
Yeah.
Early 90s when we found the band, we took the best of that, what we'd written back then, and just released the EP and just, you know, give it a modern twist on it. And it's, we did it as a 3-piece, by the way.
James took all the vocals.
And it just to get the stuff out there and just as
get products out, and it's got so well received. But like you were saying, you're quoting your friend there, we could do better. But this is something that we were proud of at the time, and we're still proud of it now, you know. So we're looking to, you know, do things.
But that's the thing,
develop things. Everybody's got, like, a kind of monkey in the cupboard that they don't really want to take out, but it's part of your history, you know. It's where you develop. You know, you can't undo what you've done.
And how do you think your sound's changed since when you were there in the 90s?
This fella. This fella and this fella.
Keys in for the first time.
Yeah.
These
two gents have really brought life to it, really. Because the vocalists, Ian's got an array of tools. We can use technology. We've always had a bit of technology. Me and Jim have been together for years, and we've seen it develop. So, you know, from a standard bass guitar and drums, we've gone to like more vocals, more technology, different melodies, harmonies, and all sorts. It's great.
And we used to sing in the
really
great.
Right.
Thrashing away,
head smiling.
Down. Yeah.
Head down. So
it's
really matured, and yet we've got the underbelly what we always had, which is like, you know, we're quite a hard edged band, but we're not anywhere like Elfest or anything like Hammerfest. We're not like that, but we're a funny one because we do lots of melodies and harmonies and stuff, and so, you know, you get this hard and soft, and now with the keys you get this expanse. It's really great. So for dynamics, it's good.
Yeah.
So all developed, very keen on dictation as well. Make sure that everything's pronounced, and you don't have to think what he's saying.
Yeah.
The amount of times where you go and see a band, you think, well, eventually your ear tunes into what he's actually trying to sing.
Yeah.
So, you know, punctuation, making sure everything's just so, so important. And it's quite funny because James did the EP, bang on. The amount of comments that I've had, and people say, it's nice to be able to listen to something where you can actually hear what's been spoken, said, yes, sang. And also, the melody's all there as well. So it's not like grunt melody.
No.
It's, they can hear what's being sang. And it's amazing. And people like that.
You know, I think the market for the type of bands that are playing here.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.